Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so excited today because I have Ariana Rodriguez with me, and she is a powerhouse. She is a systems strategist that helps BIPOC women who are creative entrepreneurs find ease in their businesses via automations and tech solutions. Being a parent of two rambunctious toddlers while working full-time naturally led her to discover the skills of finding efficiencies in systems. Makes sense. For years, she was a part of a tech project, she was a tech project manager in a large hospital organization, and realized her superpower was being able to translate operational needs into streamlined tech solutions. So in 2021, she felt there was a need, that there was something lacking professionally, where she began offering her services that aligned with her skill sets to online entrepreneurs. During the pandemic, so many people leveraged social media to build very successful online businesses, usually with very little internal infrastructure. Or entrepreneurs experienced exponential growth and grew out of a few processes that they had in place, now finding them the cycle of overwhelm. As women of color, who are the largest demographic creating businesses, they're conditioned to think that they need to do everything on their own and not given the resources to do so. So she's here to show them just how easy it can be to run their businesses in easier ways. She's able to come in, audit their backends, offer strategic solutions to allow them to clear up their headspace, to help them build systems, implement tech, so they can scale their businesses with lean teams without burning out, and help them find ease, which is elevate the client experience, create automations that alleviate burdens, and build systems that create space to increase energy so they can focus on the things they love. Ariana, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Well, we're excited to have you and to dive into your experience and journey, because it's been quite the journey from what I just said. So if you could share with us how you really got here today in building your business.
Yeah, of course. So I have a very non-traditional career path. I started in college. I studied sociology and education, and was in education for a little while. Didn't really go anywhere with it because I was trying to get back into the operations of education, and there just wasn't space there yet for anybody who did not have either a teaching degree or an MSW. So I transitioned, wound up doing more administrative work, and then happened on a role in a hospital as an assistant project manager, and then project manager and operations manager after a few different promotions. And really enjoyed the strategy and like problem solving that being a project manager and operations manager kind of entailed, right? And I was there, I was with the hospital for about 7 years, which is a lot longer than I thought I was going to be, honestly, because I never pictured myself working in a hospital. But I really enjoyed the creativity behind it. I enjoyed the people that I was working with. But after the pandemic started, I kind of started feeling burned out. Things kind of felt like more routine. The creativity and excitement kind of was wearing off. So I was working from home, and I started offering some just virtual assistance to online entrepreneurs. And I kind of just fell in with one person, started getting referrals, started building my repertoire. And like, I was working with a lot of creative entrepreneurs. So like people who were selling products online, PR agencies, influencers, and helping. And I realized very quickly that I was helping them put strategy behind what they wanted to do, right? I was helping them build the tech that they wanted. And I realized, after I realized that that's what I was doing with them, I realized that that's what I've been doing my entire career, right? It was a was finding the strategy behind the ideas and then trying to implement that in one way or the other, right? In a systematic fashion. So I pivoted a little bit and I kind of made that my main message. I was like, okay, this is what I'm really enjoying. This is what I really like doing. Like, let me become that strategy person that you hire when you're hitting your six figures in your multiple six figure business. And you're like, okay, I've grown, I've scaled, maybe I've hired, but I'm still burnt out. I'm still tired. People are still bothering me every single day in my business. Like, I don't know. I want to continue to grow because I want to continue to build this amazing business that I've started, but I no longer am in love with it because it's become like this administrative burden. Right. So that's my pivot. So it doesn't sound like it makes sense whatsoever, but like, it took a lot of reflection to kind of realize that the theme that ran through all of my my different careers was really just strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, it's definitely a strategy aspect of it all, being able to understand too, when you're going through the motions, you're reflecting, you're being able to understand too, okay, well, let's try this, or how do I maneuver this way? And I think that's the beautiful thing of entrepreneurship. There is no right or wrong way. It's being able to understand, okay,
feels right. And it's kind of like when you throw spaghetti at the wall, sometimes you're just like, I hope it sticks. Like when you're starting an entrepreneurship. But I'm curious, through a lot of the reflection, what did that look like for you as you were starting to pivot and maneuver?
Well, before I started working online, I really looked like me trying to job hop. There was a lot of job hopping going on. My husband, who is the complete opposite of me and a very like stable kind of person, thought that I was crazy wanting to leave like what was a very secure job. Yeah. But it really took me looking for roles that I thought I wanted and then not getting them to sit down and really like say, okay, why am I not landing these jobs? Because usually once I'm in the room with people and I get to interview, like, not to toot my own horn, but I tend to get the job, right? Like, once I'm in the door, I tend to get the role. So I really had to reflect on why I wasn't getting the roles that I wanted and why it was so hard for me to find a job that got me excited. Like, right, I was reading all these job descriptions and it wasn't excited anymore. And then when I started helping with entrepreneurs online, I was really exciting, not just because it was something new, but because there were no longer the constraints of like a corporation, right? Mm-hmm. With a corporation, especially a larger corporation, you're really sitting there and there's only so much that you're able to do. And there's so many compromises that you need to make. Right now, my only compromises are based on what the entrepreneur prefers, mm-hmm. what their budget is, and then what the software can and cannot do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the amount of creativity it takes now to do what I do, it's like night and day. So once I realized that I was becoming so much more creative and it was like really like lighting a fire under me, I was like, no, this is what I need to do. I just need to figure out how to message it so that people understand what I'm enjoying and what I want to do and the benefits that I can offer their businesses, right? Like, so it's taken a little bit of time to kind of get there. Mm-hmm. And to like structure like my offers to make sure that they're serving the community that I want to serve, right? Not just like what I like, but make sure they're actually of service.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point that we haven't really talked a lot about on this channel. But when you have your client or customer, you have this like dream of like what offer you want to do. And you're like, this is going to be the best offer ever. And then it's like flat lines. Just not, you know, that's happened to me. I can't speak for everyone else, but with that experience, when you started really tapping into like, okay, what is the need of them? How was that like, what did that look like for you when you really started tapping into that?
Yeah, it's a trial and error, honestly, a lot of trial and error. And I'm still in it, right? I'm still like testing out a bunch of different offers to try to see what people really want. And it's hard because sometimes entrepreneurs don't even know what's wrong with their business. They feel the burnout and they don't know why, right? So they're very quick to throw money at marketing. They're very quick to throw money at like ads. They're very quick to throw money at like branding strategy, right? Like, let's look at data. But it's like also, there's only so much that branding, marketing, ads will do for you if your back end is not tight, right? If you don't know what's happening in the back end of your businesses. Like, I've met with so many people that after we meet, tell me, like, I had no idea that I was doing so much in my business and how much time was taken up by like these like administrative things that I say will only take like 15, 20 minutes. But like when you're doing things that are take 15, 20 minutes, 15, 20 times in a week, that's so much time that you're spending doing something that you can easily outsource. Right. And then, you know, I've also talked to people who have said like, hey, I've hired these people and like, I'm not getting the results that I want. And it's like, okay, well, is it because the person is incompetent? Like, did you hire somebody that's incompetent? More 9 times out of 10, that's not the case, right? Like, you're an intelligent person. You know what an intelligent person sounds like and looks like. So like, I'm sure you've hired somebody who can do the role, the job. Like, mm-hmm. are you setting that person up for success? Are your systems, mm-hmm. do your systems make sense, right? Like, is there a process laid out? Is the way that you're communicating the way that they're understanding, right? And how do you do that other than having like SOPs and having like back-end processes? And without them, like, you're not setting up your business or your employees for success.
Yeah.
So as an example, or not as an example, but like as a oops, like that I did for myself. When I first started doing this, I had created a whole offer around creating email funnel systems, right? It was a very simple funnel, something that everybody needs. Everyone needs a funnel once, you know, you get into the online space. And for a lot of people, especially creative entrepreneurs, the tech is overwhelming, right? They're like, what's my email system do I use? How do I connect it? What's a landing page? What's a lead magnet? What's whatever, right? And I put it out there. I have this great little tutorial. I have like all this information. I have like this great little sales funnel that goes to like a VIP offer, a VIP day offer. Mm-hmm. No one has bought it. Right. So like that was me anticipating a need before people actually needed it. And like now I've realized, I've kind of like sat back and realized, okay, so that was an anticipation. I put all this work into this, and granted, it was a great learning experience. I had so much fun putting it together. Fine. But now I'm really sitting down and thinking, okay, what do my people actually need? Yeah. They need to know what's happening in their business. Mm-hmm. They need that roadmap that shows them, okay, from when we hire somebody to when that person is, we're done with that client work, whatever that project is, whether it's a project, whatever, like, what is that process? What does that look like? What do our internal systems look like? Right. Yeah. And part of having a strategist on your team, or, you know, to onboard a strategist for like a project, is that they will lay that out for you, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's my goal, is like, they will lay that out for you so that you aren't just creating more offers or more opportunities for people to buy from you. You're actually strategically thinking about like, okay, what do I need to do to actually streamline my business to elevate my client experience, right? So that they feel supported and taken care of when they're a customer of mine.
Yes. No, I mean, you touched on so many important things there, but I do think it's so important to have those systems. So it is that funnel, especially having an online presence of like building your business online. It's different if it's brick and mortar, but like having that online space. But I really wanted to highlight something that you said about communication, being able to set your employees up for success. And I think that is such a key part, because I've been a part of businesses. I have 3 of my own businesses now, but that part of being able to communicate when you're working with other people. So I've helped other people grow their businesses or been a part of that. And I see it time and time again, when the communication piece, you have these high expectations, but then you're not communicating that. And then the person just ends up doing it themselves or outsourcing it elsewhere. So I do think that, just like to highlight what you said, it's being able to set your people up for success so they know how to communicate, they know what the roadmap is, and being able to be on the same page, because that is a huge part, especially if you're not in person, things can get misconstrued, or especially if it's in an email versus text versus Voxer, whatever other Slack, platforms. Yes.
In an era of all the Slack messages, let's be very clear. And like,
yeah,
also having one place where everything lives.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So like being the owner of 1,005 different Google Sheets does not make you an organized business.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what kind of labeling system you have created. It is not organized and streamlined. If it takes me more than like 30 seconds to find something, it is not organized. Like the whole point of having like a good system is to make sure that you can access the information that you need readily, right? And if you can't, then we need to talk about optimization at that point.
Yes. So can you speak a little more about optimization as well? Like how that like plays such a huge part in business?
Yeah. So something that I like to do with my clients is after we do that process map, right? We like lay out, have that bird's eye view. We really walk through each of those steps, right? We look at what your client onboarding process is. And again, whether you're a coach, whether this is a course, whether this is a product-based business, whatever it is, like you have an onboarding process where you're introducing that person to your brand. Like, what does that look like? How are you walking them through there? Are you pressing every email, pressing the buttons for every emails? Are you manually collecting data? Like, do you have a CRM? What does that look like? If not, why not? Like, or are you like some of my clients that have like 15,000 different platforms that they're using for one thing and none of them are optimized, right? Or none of them are customized to what they actually need. So they're not really using them, right? So once we have like a good outline of the onboarding process, then it's really like your actual processes. So who is doing what, right? Like who is actually doing what? Who is delivering the product? How is it getting delivered? Is it happening automatically? Do you have them, the clients in an email sequence? Are they getting onto your newsletter? How is the data being transferred so that you're collecting it in a way that makes sense for your company, right? Like there are some of these things that can be automatically done. So like if you have an online store and you're selling things, you can easily have a Zapier go from your Shopify to a Google spreadsheet so that you can do some better analytics, right? Because at the end of the day, Shopify is never going to have the best analytics out there for you. If you have a course, same thing, where you can have like your Teachable send the information to a Google spreadsheet so that you can have really robust analytics coming from that spreadsheet, right? And that's fine. But if you have a coaching program, maybe that's a manual process where like someone fills out the form and then it automatically gets input into your Dubsado, your ClickUp, whatever you're using for your CRM. But then you're manually moving them from lead to project. And that's okay that a system sometimes has manual steps, but it's really outlining like what those steps are and making sure that they make sense for your business and making sure that it makes sense for you as the entrepreneur and how you work, right?
Right.
So keeping in mind that like not everything can be automated, that not all systems are tech, that there are some things that have to be manual and that's fine, but making sure that you're okay with those things being manual and having that like personal touch, and then assigning those duties and delegation and delegating that out to the right person with an SOP.
Yeah. And can you explain what SOP is?
SOP is a standard operating procedure. It's literally a step-by-step of how to do something. So if your process, if you put out a blog post once a month, what is the process to get that blog post out, right? So from the creation of the concept to the copywriting, to the editing, to the creation of the graphic, to the posting it on your website, to getting it, sending it out and notifying your email news list that your new blog was up, to getting it on social media. Like, what does that process look like? Step by step, what platforms does your VA or content manager need to utilize? Do they have the logins for all those platforms? How are they getting the content? Are you creating it? Are they creating it? Are you giving them the idea? Are you editing it? If so, when, how are you notified of the, like the entire process, right? Mm-hmm. So the process map, this flow map that I create at the very beginning when I'm working with people is a bird's eye view, right? Like you have this really nice, really complicated map walking you through your entire business. The SOP is a day-to-day nitty gritty, how to do all of those processes, right?
Mm-hmm. So yes,
the two different things that you, and both are just as important.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more too, because especially it's like the terms of like working your business or working on your business, like being able to have somebody take over certain parts with having a system in place is huge, because you don't want to be answering your phone or emails every 5 seconds when, oh, I got a potential new client, or, oh, I need to update this, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. But having these in place is so important. And just also like being able to take that step back too, to truly exactly. like put your hands in other things that you want to, because I know a lot of us as entrepreneurs are like, oh, a new project, let me try this one out. But being able to have it systemized and optimized is so key in any business. I know that was like when I started my business, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have that in the initial phase. So that's why I think it's so important what you do and what you help people with, so they can scale their business. So to speak to that as well, once they have things optimized, what is that process like when they start scaling? What does that look like?
Well, once they have things optimized, really when they start scaling, it's just a matter of making sure that the systems that they have can scale with them, right? So part of the process that we go through is making sure that we find tech and system solutions that will grow with the business, right? Mm-hmm. So making sure that whatever platform you're using is customizable, making sure that whatever platform you're using has a space to add more information to it. So if you're using a project management system, like how much information can you put in here? How much can you customize it? How many properties can you add to each of your spaces to make sure that you're tracking everything that you need to track, right? And then once you're tracking all that, you can look back and analyze. You have the ability to analyze, okay, you know, I have 30 new leads this quarter. These, you know, out of that, 50% came from Instagram, 25% came from this conference that I did, 10% came from referrals. Like, how can I capitalize on that? Right. So like you now have the systems to look at the data to really be able to make strategic moves for your business. Right. So you're not just sitting there and like, well, I'm going to keep doing these things without any real awareness of whether or not it's giving you an ROI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really important information to know too.
I'm curious, when you started your business and as you've been growing it and scaling it, what have been some of the like bumps in the road of continuing to grow your business?
All the bumps. So everything from not following my own advice, right? So not having my own processes and my own systems in place, mm-hmm. To like making offers that people don't really want, not doing my market research, right? So like, again, that sales funnel VIP day that no one has purchased, still out there. If people are curious, people want to buy it, it's there. But really not understanding what the need was before I started crafting offers, right? Mm-hmm. But also, again, like I said, not following my own advice, not having my own systems. And over the last, I don't know, a little while, I've been really refining my own onboarding and client process, like making sure that everything was streamlined, making sure everything was as automated as possible, elevating my own client experience. Because if I want my customers to have an elevated client experience for their people, like my customers also need to feel supported in my processes and systems, right? Mm-hmm. So making sure that I have client portals, that I'm over communicating, that making sure that when we start a project, the clients know exactly what I need to be able to give them the best results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are definitely key elements of when you start a business and knowing the bumps, and some of them are little speed bumps or some are huge little mountains, but it's getting through that too. And knowing that it is a process, it's not a one size fits all, and you're constantly modifying and evolving. And that's what it sounds like too, that you're doing. And you've seen that growth in your business by doing that, because when we stay stagnant, the business isn't going to grow, and we have to grow with the times too. And just even with the pandemic, that shifted a lot of things, but that's when your business started growing too.
Exactly.
And I'm curious, because I know you're a mom, how have you been able to balance motherhood and entrepreneurship?
So that's part of my systemization, right? My husband works evenings. So he's with the kids in the morning while I work. And then I take off in the afternoons and I'm with the kids until they go to bed. And then if I need to finish up anything, then I do afterwards, but usually I'm okay with my just morning routine. I'm usually like working from like 8:30 ish to 2:30. And that's been enough, because I've been able to like systematize like my own processes. And like, that is when people can book meetings with me. That is when I talk to clients. If there's ever like people have access to me. My clients have access to me like via email or Slack. So if they need something, they can email me, but they know also to not expect a response until like the next day. Mm-hmm. Right. So I've put systems in place so that my clients know when I'm available, when I have my kids. And then if for whatever reason I need to hop on a call with a client after I have them, they also know that it's something, you know, little people are going to come in and say hi.
Well, I'm sure they're welcome. You know, it too, what it sounds like, and I think this is goes hand in hand with systems and boundaries, like having those boundaries in place of being able to understand too, what's going on in that moment, knowing, okay, well, this is what's acceptable. I'll be able to reach out to you, but it will be tomorrow. Like yes. Knowing that upfront. So how were you able to really ensure that you had boundaries set in place with your systems?
Trial and error. That was another big step. When I first started, I had very little boundaries because I was also working a full-time job, right? So mm-hmm. Boundaries were non-existent because I was fitting work. I was fitting my side work, my online work, right? With in the spaces that were not occupied with full-time work and children. Mm-hmm. So that was really eating away of any and all boundaries that I had. And then as I continued to scale, I wound up hiring a subcontractor to do some work with me. That helped me create boundaries because I now have somebody that I was delegating work to who can take some of that, just the constant work, right? Like the me doing 4 or 5 hours of work after my 9 to 5 away, like it took it off my plate. And then once I did that and I really started scaling and shifting my messaging and shifting my focus, I just put that in my contract. I was like, I need to be able, like there are no more non-negotiables, right? Like I wound up leaving my full-time job. So this is my job full-time now that I'm doing. And because of that, I no longer have afternoon childcare. Like this is the reality of my life. Like if you want me to respond quickly, like I'm working from this time to this time. Mm-hmm. If you reach out to me after that, like you will have to wait until tomorrow morning. If it is urgent, you can Slack me or Voxer me and I will type a message away to you, but realize that like any actual work is going to have to wait until the next day. Like there was just no other way, right? Like that, this is my reality for right now. And like, mm-hmm. and anybody who works with me just has to accept that, right? Like this is the time that I have available for work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, and it's those two key elements of boundaries, and then we were talking about with the communication piece, like they go hand in hand in creating a business, I believe, because if you don't have that clear communication, you're not going to be able to have the right systems in place or have the right work done, and you're going to have to end up doing it again if it's not correct. But it's doing things where I know I mentioned at the beginning when I was introducing you of just thinking that we have to do everything on our own. And, you know, that's a huge part. Can you speak to that a little bit more too?
Yeah, of course. So a lot of the people that I work with is they, because they built this business and this is their baby, right? Like this is my business is my third child. That is what I like to say. Like, you know, this is something that I've built from the ground up. I'm so proud of it. Like, I love that I've done this, but I cannot do this alone. Like mm-hmm. I have a subcontractor that I work with, right? My husband's the one that watches my kids in the morning so that I can work. Like I'm not doing this by myself. My mother lives with me and like helps to like cook and like watch the kids if I have a call or something. So like while they might not be in my business, they are doing things that support my business, right? Yeah. So I have really leaned in on my community, my support system, and I am telling other entrepreneurs that I can be their support system so that they can. So I can create a system to support the continued growth of their company, right? Mm-hmm. So that they don't no longer have to answer every email. They no longer have to press send on every email. They no longer have to do like the administrative silliness that comes with being an entrepreneur. And I call it silliness, but it's all very important, right? Like it's all important. It's all how you make money as a business owner. Mm-hmm. But just because it's how you make money does not necessarily mean you need to be the person that does everything, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of it's outlining and understanding what your business is, what you're doing in your business, and then creating the processes to support you being able to delegate appropriately to your team, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're giving somebody a process, or you're giving somebody a task, they need to know what that task is to be able to support you, so that you're not turning around and saying, oh, it's only going to take me half an hour to do this. Well, how many times are you saying that to yourself, right? Like, how many times are you saying it's only going to take me half an hour? It'll only take me 10 minutes, when you can just say, here's the process, take it over, instead of having to send like 10 Loom videos every month, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen it both ways, where people think that they have a process, send 15 Loom videos trying to communicate that out to people, and then it doesn't get done, or they have no process, get work back, and then are like, this is not what I asked for. But again, you're still not communicating appropriately in one concise way, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to build that support system, to build the people, to build the team that you need for your business to grow, for you to find space in your head, in your brain, in your week, in your month, you need to be able to offload some of the administrative stuff. To be able to offload, you need to have SOPs to hand to your people, so you're not worried about what that end product is going to be, or you need to hire someone to create the SOPs for you. Right?
Yes.
Because you don't need to do that yourself. SOPs are tedious. Mm-hmm. You just need to have them in place so that you know that the work is getting done right. And not just right, but getting done the same way each and every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing that a lot of my clients are doing is that they recreate the wheel every single time. Everything is customized. Everything is personal. And like, you can have a customized experience. Like, I give my clients a customized solution to their problems, because everybody comes with different problems and every mm-hmm. entrepreneur works differently.
Yeah.
But you can't have a customized process mm-hmm. every time somebody's onboarded,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. I've codified my onboarding process. I've codified my project management process. Like, that is what I use every time I onboard somebody, even though my solution is customized,
mm-hmm.
right? It's okay that the solution is customized. It is not okay that your process is customized for everybody. So it's a matter of making sure that you're sticking to your guns and communicating, like, this is the process. If you want something different, then we're going to have to discuss what that looks like. But also making sure that, like, realizing that if you're going to customize each process, you're making it almost impossible for your team to take something off your plate.
Well said. No, I mean, I completely agree with that too. The factor of understanding, you do it once and then it can be done again and again and again, versus, oh, let's do it this time this way. And I understand trial and error for things, but once you have it in place, it just makes it that much easier for everybody around you.
Yeah.
And I just want to highlight too that support system, because I think a lot of times people think, oh, they got there because they did it on their own. And if you look at every successful person, not one of them says, I did it by myself. They had mentors, they had help at home, they had all these factors. And I think it's important to remember that. And it can be very difficult and challenging. Everybody has their own set of issues and problems. Nobody is perfect. If you are, let me know. I always ask that, because I don't know anyone who's perfect. I'm definitely not. But I think too, it's just, I love that you spoke to that and you were very transparent of the help that you do have, so you can create this amazing business and help others create their amazing businesses as well. It's that ripple effect, and knowing that it's being able to empower one another to really strive and achieve the impossible, it might feel like, but achieving it. And that's what it sounds like you're doing.
Well, I can't help business owners achieve ease if I haven't found it in my own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I feel like this entire year I started it with the intention of finding space and ease for myself, because I did not feel like last year was the year. I felt like last year was so hectic and overwhelming that I was like, no, if this is what I'm doing, I need to be able to find space and ease for myself so that I can do it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help me then deliver that same result to my clients.
Mm-hmm. It's creating the path.
Yep, exactly.
Showing I did it, you can do it too.
100%.
I've been enjoying this conversation so much, but I do have one more question. If you could give any tips or advice to people that are starting out in their business or needing systems and optimization, what are like 2 to 3 tips that you could give us?
Okay. So one, as you're doing things, write down the processes you're taking to do them. right? That right there is the beginnings of your SOPs, right? So I'm sending out these emails. People are asking me these questions. How do I respond to those questions, right? Or I'm onboarding a client. Like, these are the steps that I do to send out the contract, to send out a proposal, to send out, like, to have them schedule dates with me. Do I have a discovery form? Do I have an onboarding form? All those things. Mm-hmm. Start writing them down step by step. Keep them somewhere safe, so that when you begin to hire, you already have like the framework of what you want to give to people, mm-hmm. right? So that's one. To have a place that is not Google Docs where you keep all of your information. Right? Whether you decide that Asana is your place, whether you decide that ClickUp, Notion, whatever project management tool that you are going to use, use it. Mm-hmm. Put your projects in it, put your leads in it, start organizing. There's a bunch of templates out there that are for free. Each platform also comes with their own templates. Like, there are ways to organize things so that you can start tracking where your people are coming from, where your money's coming from, where, like, and the statuses of your project, so that you're not letting things fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, the last one would be like to create your own version of a process map, right? Like, what are you doing in your business? Walk through your customer journey and like, is it what you want it to look like? Mm-hmm. Right? Is this the journey? Once you like lay it out, really look at it and say, like, is this the journey that I want my customers to take? If it's not, how do you change that? And how do you, what things do you need to change so that it's a more streamlined and elevated experience?
Those were fantastic tips. And I'm sure so many people are going to be writing this down, remembering it, especially if they're in the beginning of their journey, or even if they're in the process of starting to hire, like having that awareness of like, what do I need to do? Because I think a lot of times, I know I didn't know that when I was starting out, I was just like, all right, let's figure out what I need to do next. But having that system in place, I think, is so key. And just being able to see it, write it down, and it makes so much less work in the future as well.
And you're able to plan for the future, right? In a way that you weren't able to plan if you just were winging it 24/7.
Yeah, 100%. So Ariana, are you ready for the rapid fire questions?
I am ready.
All righty. What motivates you to work smarter?
Knowing that I only have like a few hours in the day, right? So I only have like my set of hours in the day, and then I need to be with my kids, and they're about to be 2 and 4. They don't have any patience for me doing anything else other than like playing with them. So there we go.
Understood. I mean, those are tough ages with patience, at least.
Yes. There is no patience.
Exactly. They want it when they want it.
Yes.
So if you were a superhero, what would be your powers?
Oh, this one's easy. I've always known this answer to this one. I want to be able to teleport.
Yes.
I hate traffic. I hate commuting. I want to be able to blink my eyes and be on a beach somewhere drinking a fabulous drink.
It sounds lovely. It sounds very relaxing, especially in summertime right now. Oh, beautiful. So what is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
Oh God, other than leave my 6-figure corporate job to start my own business?
that thing.
I have gone both skydiving and bungee jumping. Ooh. I am a little bit of an adrenaline junkie, and I loved all those things.
Oh my gosh. I still want to go skydiving, but like, I'm terrified of bungee jumping. Just like, oh, my palms are getting sweaty thinking about it. That's really daring. So more power to you for doing that. Pushing past the limits. What is the phone app that you use the most?
Oh God, this is going to sound horrible, but Instagram, as an online small business, I feel like I'm on Instagram way too many hours in a day, because I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. You get to connect with really cool people, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have been connecting with really cool people between Instagram, my email, and then actually my personal, project management tool of choice is Notion, and they have like a really nice robot, like a really great app. So like between those three, I'm hopping around all day.
Those are all good ones. Keeps business in line. And what is the last book that you've read?
What is it called? It was so good. It's by Erin Morgenstern, called The Starless Sky, The Starless Sea. Erin Morgenstern wrote The Night Circus, which is like one of my absolute favorite books. I've read it like 5 times already. And I saw that she also wrote this one. So I bought it and it was absolutely amazing. Like I love her writing.
It sounds like a really good read. Awesome. And so if you had to describe yourself as an animal, like personality style, what animal would you be?
I feel like, okay, this is going to sound really funny. I feel like a flamingo.
Okay.
Because I can be a very colorful person, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And also very clumsy looking. Clumsy in general. So there we go. Fun, unexpected, clumsy.
I think that's a good combo. You know, it just like shows your character and really like just immersing in it. And flamingos are cool. I'm from Florida, so like I used to see them all the time. They're very interesting creatures, animals. What is your favorite way to spend your day off? So if you don't have clients, you just have whatever you want to do that day.
I'm in New Jersey, so there is, when it's summertime, I love being outside in my backyard. It is literally my favorite spot in the whole world. I take the kids out there, I throw out some like water toys, whether water table, like sprinklers, let them run around, with like an iced coffee and a book or like a good podcast.
That sounds like a beautiful summer day now that summer's here. Beautiful.
Favorite way to hang out.
Right? No, it sounds very relaxing and the kids have a great time.
Exactly. Win-win for everybody.
Exactly. So what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Oh, that it's not just like coding, right? Or that it's not like this boring like math problem, that like the industry really is like a lot of fun and it's very creative, and it feels more like putting a puzzle together than it is solving a math problem. Like I think people think tech and think like math boring, and really it's much more creative and yeah, in my head, whenever I have like a new entrepreneur, like that I'm working with, it's really like putting puzzle pieces together to make sure that it like fits them.
I believe it. I mean, that's perfectly explained too, because it is, you're like figuring out all the systems, putting things into place, and then it becomes this beautiful puzzle put together. Love it. Well, before I let you go, my final question, okay. Where can people find you, hire you? We'll link everything below, but if you could let us know.
Yeah. So, my website has all the information about my services, and a link to sign up for my newsletter. It's ArianaRodriguez.co. And then I spend 95% of my time on Instagram. I'm unfortunately, and my handle is Ariana_Rodriguez_. There's apparently a lot of me on IG. So,
well, it's a strong name, so it makes sense. Well, thank you, Ariana, for coming on today, sharing your story, your journey, and everything you're up to, and how you're really creating ease for all the entrepreneurs you get to work with day in, day out. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for watching. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Ariana? What did you learn about systems, optimization, everything she has to offer? I'm sure she would love to see that too. And we'll see you all on the next video.